Acontra Podcast Conversations, for the curious essential knowledge simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. Welcome, curious minds, to another deep dive. Today, we're embarking on, well, a truly monumental journey. We're attempting to unravel one of the world's most ancient and complex spiritual traditions.
And not through dogma, right? Yeah. But through a really insightful scholarly lens.
Exactly. We're diving into Hinduism, a pivotal work edited by the distinguished Louis Renou. Our mission, really, for this deep dive is to unearth the most important nuggets from Renou's huge examination. We want to help you navigate the multifaceted nature of Hindu thought and culture and show how it kind of defies those simple categories, yet holds this profound underlying unity that you often miss.
Precisely. And this isn't about, you know, rote memorization or some dry academic thing. It's about getting a nuanced understanding, a living tradition evolving over millennia. Yeah. And in our world today, everyone's craving clarity, connection, understanding diverse belief systems like Hinduism. It offers these invaluable aha moments. It's almost a shortcut, you know, to being truly well-informed without feeling totally overwhelmed. And we'll show you why this particular text by Renou is so, so crucial for that.
Okay, so before we really dive into the book itself, let's talk a bit about the mind behind it. Louis Renou, he was a French Anabologist, a major Sanskrit scholar, held big positions, professor at the Sorbonne.
Right. He really dedicated his whole intellectual life to studying Indian civilizations systematically.
So what made him so uniquely positioned for this? You mentioned his skills.
Yeah, it was this rare combination. He had profound linguistic mastery. We're talking fluent Sanskrit, Pali, but also several modern Indian languages.
Wow. So direct access.
Direct, unparalleled access to the original source texts. That's key. It let him engage with the material on its own terms, which was different.
How so? You mentioned biases he worked against, like colonial or romanticized views.
Yeah, that's a great point. See, a lot of Western scholars back then tended to interpret Hindu traditions through, well, a European lens, maybe seeing them as primitive or exotic or romanticizing bits without the context.
Right. Renou was meticulous. He focused on textual authenticity above all. He presented Hindu thought from within its own textual tradition, respecting its internal logic, not judging it by outside standards.
So he wasn't just describing it. He was kind of orchestrating this coherent presentation from the tradition itself.
Exactly. A master curator, you could say.
Okay. So Hinduism by Renou. What's it really about then? It sounds like more than just a history book.
Oh, much more. Think of it like intellectual archaeology. It's not just an intro. It's a scholarly portal. Good for newcomers, but also a serious reference for people already familiar.
Okay.
And he challenges that common idea that Hinduism is just this chaotic mess with no coherence. He shows that underneath all that diversity, there's this deep philosophical consistency.
So he's guiding us through this whole intellectual landscape, not just listing facts. Precisely. The book takes you on a journey, both chronological and thematic. Starts with the ancient Vedic stuff, traces the development through history, through different philosophical schools. His aim is to show Hinduism isn't static. It's dynamic, evolving, constantly reinterpreted in its huge literature.
For anyone wanting a serious academic understanding beyond the surface level.
Exactly. Deep, nuanced insights.
Yeah. And the scope is just vast, isn't it? Vedas, Upanishads, philosophy, devotion, yoga, festivals, social structures, ethics.
It really explores the whole multifaceted civilization. It's incredibly comprehensive.
So Renou's taking us on this historical excavation. Where does he start digging? The very first layer.
Well, he starts with what he calls the primordial echoes, hints at the Indus Valley civilization, which is still pretty elusive.
Right.
But then he dives deep into the Rig Veda. And you have to imagine this society really attuned to the natural world, seeing order everywhere. At the core, he highlights two really powerful ideas shaping this early view. First, Rita.
Rita, okay.
You can think of it as the universe's operating system, its inherent cosmic order. Like a natural law governing everything, seasons, morality, everything.
Like the universe had its own built-in code.
Exactly. And then there was Yajna, these complex fire sacrifices.
Ah, the rituals.
Yeah, but not just simple offerings. These were elaborate rituals believed to actually maintain that universal harmony, keep the cosmic OS running smoothly.
So a connection between human action and the cosmos itself. Pretty sophisticated.
Very. And from those external rituals, Renou then guides us to this revolutionary shift. He shows how the Brahmanas, these ritual commentaries, acted as a bridge.
A bridge? How?
They started to internalize the meaning of sacrifice. connecting the physical fire, the offerings, to cosmic forces like the sun, the moon, even parts of the human body.
Ah, so moving towards symbolism.
Right. The first step towards seeing the deeper symbolic meaning, shifting from just doing the ritual to understanding its cosmic echo.
So the meaning starts moving inwards. That must have set the stage for something major.
Absolutely. This inward turn really culminates in the Upanishads. Renu presents them as the true philosophical heart of early Hinduism. Here, the quest shifts. It's not about worldly stuff from rituals anymore. It's about ultimate knowledge.
Okay.
And this section unpacks those foundational concepts, like Brahman.
The ultimate reality.
Yeah, the ground of all being, underlying everything, like the cosmic ocean and everything else is just waves.
Yeah, Atman.
Atman is your individual soul, your true unchanging self. Not your body, not your thoughts, but something deeper.
And this is where we get that really mind-bending idea, Tatthivamasi, that thou art.
Exactly, which just collapses the distance between you, the individual self, and Brahman, the ultimate reality.
So the core of your being is the cosmic truth. That's radical.
It is. It suggests your essence is identical with the ultimate.
How did people even begin to grasp that? Was it just for philosophers? And how does that connect back to, you know, living in society?
Yeah, that's a brilliant question. And Renu shows how later traditions really wrestled with that tension, the inner realization versus collective life. The Upanishads state these truths, make them available, but the experience, that's a journey, often through things like meditation.
Okay.
And this is also where we see karma, samsara, the cycle of rebirth, and moksha, liberation from that cycle, really clearly articulated, presenting moksha as the ultimate human goal.
So we have this framework for personal liberation,
but
society needs rules to function, right?
How did these deep spiritual ideas get applied to daily life, to social organization?
Exactly. And that's where Renu brings in the Dharma Shastras. Texts like the Laws of Nanu.
Ah, the law codes.
Well, yes and no. They're more than just legal codes. Think of them as comprehensive guides on Dharma itself, which means duty, ethics, the code of conduct that sustains society. And what's unique is that Dharma isn't one size fits all. It's specific to your position in life.
And Renu discusses the Varna and Ashrama systems here, too. How does he present those? They can be tricky subjects. He emphasizes their theoretical basis. Blueprints, really, for social function and individual growth. Varna, ideally, was about aptitude and responsibility, different groups contributing differently.
Like a division of labor.
In theory, yes. And Arama was about life stages. Student, householder, forest dweller, renunciant, each stage having its own duties, its own spiritual focus.
A framework for a whole life.
Right. Renu highlights the intention was harmony, ordered progression through life. Of course, historical reality brought complexities, deviations from those ideals.
It's fascinating. A system for cosmic harmony trying to map onto social order. But these philosophies, these codes, they seem quite abstract. How do they become accessible, emotionally resonant for everyone?
That's the next step Renu traces. And it happens largely through the great Sanskrit epics, the Ramayana and the Mahabharata.
His stories.
Exactly. Epic narratives that brought these ideas to life. And the Bhagavad Gita, which is actually part of the Mahabharata, is highlighted as a cornerstone.
Right. Krishna and Arjuna.
Yes. It brilliantly synthesizes Upanishadic philosophy with practical paths to liberation. It introduces the three main yogas, Jnana Yoga path of knowledge.
Okay.
Karma Yoga path of selfless action.
The one you mentioned earlier.
Right. Okay. And Bhakti Yoga, the path of devotion.
And that Karma Yoga idea.
Mm.
Perform your duty, but don't be attached to the fruits.
Yeah.
That feels so relevant today. Takes the pressure off.
Absolutely. Think about applying that to your work, your projects.
Yeah.
Focus on the effort, the quality, not just the outcome or the praise. It's powerful.
Yeah.
It encourages this detachment from results. And then you have the Puranas.
What role do they play?
They further democratized Hinduism. They brought these vibrant myths, legends of deities like Vishnu, Shiva, Devi, making devotion, bhakti, really accessible to everyone, all social classes.
So you see this interplay between high philosophy and popular religion.
A beautiful symbiosis, yeah.
So as we've gone through these layers with Renu, certain themes keep coming up, like recurring melodies.
Mm-hmm.
What are those core insights Renu really emphasizes? The big aha moments.
Well, one of the biggest, and we've touched on it, is definitely unity and overwhelming diversity. Renu just brilliantly shows that Hinduism isn't one single rigid thing. It's more like a vast ancient river system.
Okay, I like that analogy.
Yeah. You've got countless tributaries, some fast, some slow, some for this, some for that, different purposes, different needs.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, they all flow from and into the same grand river. That's Renu's unity and diversity. It's not chaos. It's complex, interconnected, with different truths pointing to a deeper, unified reality.
Like that Rig Veda quote.
Exactly. Truth is one, sages call it by various names. That captures it perfectly.
And connected to that, he stresses the primacy of text and tradition.
Yes. Renu insists that to really understand Hinduism, you have to engage with its sacred literature. Vedas, Upanishads, epics, philosophy. These aren't just old documents. They're living repositories of wisdom shaping the whole tradition.
You can't just read summaries.
No, you have to grapple with the sources.
Mm.
Another key dynamic is the evolution from external ritual to internal realization. Renu maps this incredible spiritual progression from those communal fire sacrifices in the Vedas
right.
to the individual internal quest for self-realization in the Upanishads. It's a profound shift inwards, focusing on discovering the divine within, not just pleasing external gods.
And the glue holding it all together. You mentioned Dharma as the universal organizing principle.
Yes, it's that central force, more than just law or duty. It governs everything from the cosmos down to individual ethics. It's about maintaining stability, proper function at every level.
Cosmic and social balance.
Precisely. And ultimately, running through almost everything after the Vedas is the quest for moksha, the ultimate human goal, liberation from rebirth. This deep idea of freedom, ultimate purpose. It's the destination, regardless of the path you take.
Okay. And given this deep dive into the texts, Renu's work must be full of memorable lines, right? Quotes that really capture these ideas.
Oh, absolutely. It draws heavily on them, like that one from the Rig Veda we keep coming back to. Truth is one, sages call it by various names, and it just perfectly shows Hinduism's pluralistic view. Ultimate reality is bigger than our descriptions. We can approach it in many ways. That's real intellectual sophistication, even back then.
And the Bhagavad Gita, that practical wisdom. You have a right to perform your prescribed duty, but you are not entitled to the fruits of action. It's not about doing nothing, is it?
Not at all. It's about detached action. Focus on the effort, the quality, not being driven solely by the outcome. A great antidote to modern anxiety about success.
Definitely.
Then from the Upanishads, that radical truth. You are that. The self within you is the same as the ultimate reality of the universe. It's this challenge to look within, beyond the superficial stuff job, possessions to find that deeper universal core.
Collapsing the distance between you and the divine.
Exactly.
And one more. Reinforcing ethical conduct from the Dharma Shastras. Dharma, when protected, protects. It is the foundation that upholds the entire world.
Right. It connects ethical living not just to society, but to cosmic balance. Living right isn't just good for you. It supports the whole fabric of existence.
Wow. Okay, so bringing this all back, how can these ancient insights presented through Renu's lens actually apply to our lives today, tangibly?
Well, take stress management and mental equilibrium. That whole karma yoga idea, doing your duty without being tied to the results, that's a powerful tool against modern stress.
How so?
Imagine applying that mindfulness at work, focusing on doing your best, on the process itself, not obsessing over the promotion or external praise. It cultivates this inner calm.
Yeah, I can see that. Or maybe cultural understanding and tolerance.
Absolutely. Renu's unity and diversity is such a vital lesson for our polarized world. It encourages intellectual humility, appreciating that other cultures, other belief systems might have different but equally valid ways of seeking truth.
Less judgment, more curiosity.
Exactly. And for personal development and self-understanding, that Upanishadic concept of Atman, it's an invitation to deep self-inquiry. Look beyond the job title, the roles you play. Connect with that deeper, permanent sense of self. It leads to more inner peace, a grounded purpose.
Even in day-to-day ethical decision-making, the idea of Dharma.
Right. It reminds us that duty isn't always black and white, is it? It depends on context, relationships, consequences. It offers a framework for complex moral choices. You consider everyone affected, not just blindly following one rule.
Like a tough decision at work, you think about your team, the company, your own integrity.
Exactly. It's nuanced. And maybe just having a broader perspective on life's purpose. Samsara, karma, moksha, they encourage a long-term view.
Wow.
Actions have consequences. Growth matters. The ultimate goal isn't just worldly success, but spiritual liberation, wisdom, helps you prioritize what truly matters.
So this deep dive into Renu's Hinduism, it really shows how these ancient wisdom traditions offer profound insights for today if we approach them thoughtfully.
Right. With both critical intelligence and respectful appreciation, it's not about blind acceptance, but thoughtful engagement.
What's the key paradigm shift you think this work offers?
I think it's recognizing that what look like contradictions in spiritual traditions, often they're just different levels of truth. or different approaches for different people.
Ah.
It pushes us to look for complementarity, not just conflict, to appreciate nuance, not demand simple answers from complex systems.
Which is a good lesson for life in general, really.
Totally. And maybe most importantly, Renew shows how genuine spiritual traditions tackle universal human concerns, meaning purpose, ethics, relationships, transcendence. They offer time-tested approaches to these perennial challenges.
His work really is a model for how to navigate our complex world while still accessing this incredibly rich spiritual heritage. It helps us understand others and maybe ourselves a bit better.
Couldn't agree more.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker. Another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.